Chapter 10. Jiang Cheng doesn't know what happened at the market, either this time or the last. What he knows is that the banquet is about to start. He's just walked into the hall, and Wei Wuxian isn't here. Atia is sitting in the spot meant for him, but Jiang Cheng doesn't want to sit until his brother arrives. He thinks his sister's presence here is a good thing. Atia had spent the banquet with Madame Jean last time. Both of them excluded from the proceedings because they hadn't participated in the crowd hunt, even though obviously Nie Huaisang hadn't either, last time arriving just as it ended. But his attendance hadn't been questioned. Jiang Cheng hopes Ajia's invitation to attend the banquet is another sign that Jin Cixuan has figured out that if he wants Ajia as a wife, he's going to have to treat her more like Madame Yu than his own mother. Nie Mingtui is sitting next to his brother, and Jiang Cheng sees the open space between Lan Wangji's seat and Nie Huaisang, meant for Wei Wuxian, and tries not to let his nerves get to him. Wei Wuxian will show up, he thinks. Nie Huaisang winks at him, and he does his best not to scowl back. He'd offered to let Meng Yanmei stay in his quarters, which Jiang Cheng had wanted to refuse, except that if she was anything like her son, then Nie Huaisang is the only one clever enough that she might not manage to have him spinning in circles. Lan Wangji is hovering by the entrance, looking out the open door. Jiang Cheng hesitates, standing in front of him instead of walking past him, and Lan Wangji's eyes flicker to meet his.
"Where is Wei Ying?"
"He'll be here," he says. "Sit down. It's about to start." He frowns.
"But Wei Ying."
He touches Lan Wangji's elbow, something he's never done in either timeline. "I'm sure he's fine. Sit next to your brother. It'll be okay." He hopes it'll be okay. He'll make it okay. Lan Wangji's frown deepens for a moment, but then he nods, sitting next to Lan Cixuan. The start of the banquet is almost the same as before. Jing Guangyao congratulates the Nie clan on catching the most prey, and Nie Mingtui does something with his face that's almost a smile and doesn't look at Jing Guangyao at all. Jin Cixun, it seems, is determined to be an asshole. He really wishes he'd just killed the guy during the Sunshot campaign. His nose is even perfectly healed thanks to a heavy application of spiritual energy, so Jiang Cheng could have at least hit him harder. "Clan leader Lan," Jin Cixun says, a fake smile plastered over his face. "Surely you're not going to refuse to drink with me. It would be an insult to the Jin clan." Jing Guangyao and Nie Mingtui have identical looks of incredulity in their eyes, although Nie Mingtui's face is settled on fury and Jing Guangyao just looks faintly distressed.
"Oh no,"
Ajia whispers, twisting her hands together. "Should we do something? Asian won't like this. What would he do?" "Drink it for them," he says, without thinking, since that's exactly what he'd done for Lan Wangji the last time. Ajia stills, then says thoughtfully,
"That is something Asian would do."
"Well," Jin Cixun nudges, "are you insulting the Jin clan?" Lan Cixun's mouth flattens into a hard line, and he reaches out to take the cup. Lan Wangji's face becomes even colder, which he hadn't thought was possible. Ajia stands, and he's so surprised that he doesn't think to pull her back down until she's already out of reach.
"Don't be so discourteous, Jin Cixun."
There's a startled ripple through everyone as Ajia walks over to them. Shit, he probably should have anticipated this, actually. No matter how much she seemed to have let it go, there's no way she'd been satisfied by Jin Cixun's bow and paltry apology from earlier.
"Lady Jiang,"
Jin Cixun says through gritted teeth. Surely you can't object. Are the Lan and Jin not friends? He and Lan Wangji must drink with me.
They must do no such thing, she says calmly, moving herself in front of Lan Xichen, not unlike she'd stood in front of Wei Wuxian earlier. It is inconsiderate to ask your guests to set aside their customs for your comfort.
Sect leader Yao says, Ah, Lady Qiang, don't be like... She glances over at him, and he falls silent.
Lady Qiang, Lan Xichen says softly, It's all right. You don't need to do this.
Ajia reaches out, takes the cup out of Jin Xishin's hand, and tilts her head back to drink the whole thing in one long swallow. She doesn't even try to hide it behind her sleeve. Then she reaches out and takes the other cup from Jin Xishin's hand and drinks it the exact same way as she had the first, not even a hint of flush on her skin. Jiang Cheng has to bite his bottom lip to keep from laughing at everyone's reactions. Ajia doesn't drink often, usually only at banquets, but her tolerance falls somewhere between his and Wei Wuxian's. It'll take a lot more than two cups to faze her. That said, she's definitely doing this to prove a point. That's not how Ajia usually behaves, nor how she likes to behave, and she certainly could have put a stop to this in her own way instead of their brother's. But he's pretty sure that's not the point of this. Ajia can be quiet and obedient and happy like that, for a time. But it's no way to live her life. Jin Xishuan is smiling, his eyes carefully lowered like that'll hide his expression. Ajia dislikes Jin Xishin and likes the Lan, but this is about more than that. It's a test, too, to see if she'd have to bow her head and live as Madame Jean lives. Their clan hadn't been in a position for her to make much of a fuss the last time. Not if she didn't want their clan to be gutted in the marriage negotiations. But it's different now. Their clan is bigger and stronger, and they have more allies. She's testing Jin Xishuan to see if he still wants her when she doesn't keep her head lowered. When he can't excuse her actions as simply protecting her family.
Two cups drunk for two lawns, she says. The pride of the Jin is satisfied.
Lan Xichen seems genuinely shocked, while Lan Wangji has a small smile curling around the edge of his mouth. Jiang Cheng doesn't know what Jin Xishin would have said to that, and he doesn't find out. The doors open and two Jiang disciples enter, wide-eyed and grim. Why becomes clear when they step aside. Wen Qing is here. She's filthy and nearly swallowed by the worn red robes hanging off of her. She's never been anything but small, thanks to her focus on medical rather than combat cultivation. But she appears even smaller now, a shadow of a woman. People are shouting, but she doesn't react. Doesn't appear as if she hears them at all. Instead, her dark eyes land on him, and she crosses the room without looking away. People move toward her, but his disciples stay at her side and glare at anyone who gets too close, their hands on their swords.
Sect leader Jiang, she says, and she looks even smaller standing in front of him, her head tilted back so she can look him in the eye.
She pulls something from her sleeve. Wei Wuxian asked me to give this to you. He looks down at her hands, hoping for a note, some sort of explanation. But of course, that's not what's there. It's the purple and gold lotus hair ornament that he'd put into his brother's hair earlier today. She's saying something else, but he can't hear her, the blood in his ears drowning everything out. This is happening again, and somehow even worse than it had last time. Last time Wei Wuxian had tried to be courteous, had left Wen Qing outside while he came in to get information from Jin Xishin, had tried and failed not to cause a scene or cause problems, but of course Jin Xishin had refused to answer a simple question and escalated it. Now he sends in Wen Qing with this, rejecting the Jiang clan, rejecting his place with his family, and his eyes burn. The beginning of the end is starting all over again, but worse. And his failure is like lead to his stomach. All the things binding Wei Wuxian to them aren't enough. He's going to go charging toward the Wen while leaving them all behind. Jiang Cheng! He startles, lifting his head to look at her. Her irritation makes her more familiar to him, and he tries to hate her for taking his brother away. But all he can think of is her willingly walking into a funeral pyre because she thought it would keep Wei Wuxian safe. He hadn't been there for the Wen execution. He likes to think he would have tried to stop it, but he doesn't know, really. Did you hear anything I just said? Not really, he says, finally taking the ornament from her hands. It's colder and heavier than it was this morning. He told me to tell you, she says, emphatically enough that he knows it's not for the first time, that if you decide not to give it back to him, that he understands and he's sorry. What? He snaps, even as something that tentatively feels like hope slides down his spine. Where's my brother? Her spine stays straight, but her lips tremble and her throat works like she's swallowing back a sob. Looking for mine. How? Wei Wuxian had needed to get the information from Jin Zixin before. If he'd known where it was the first time around, he wouldn't have wasted time coming in to talk to them and risk making a scene he hadn't wanted to make. He found a friend who offered to help him, she says. Jiang Cheng's eyes flicker around the banquet hall. Mian Mian isn't here. That might not mean anything. This is the Jin and she's a commoner. And Jin Zixuan's friendship and trust isn't enough to elevate her in the eyes of Jin Guangzhan. But the only person he can think of who might know where to even begin looking and who would be willing to help Wei Wuxian is Mian Mian, who's not here. The banquet is quiet, which is surprising. Except then he sees several people turning red and gesticulating wildly. And when he looks over, Lan Wangji inclines his head half an inch. He really is quite good with that silencing spell. He looks back to Wen Qing. You didn't go with them? She had last time. Why is this different? Rage flashes across her face and her hands clench into fists. They flew. I don't have a sword. Even if I did, my cultivation isn't strong enough to ride it. I didn't want to slow them down by riding with them. Last time they'd walked, it must have taken hours. Why are you here? She looks back to the ornament in his hand, swallows, and raises her chin. I tried to tell him that I should wait in the village, but he said that it was too dangerous, so he gave me that message for you. Wei Wuxian isn't rejecting them. He gave his ornament to Wen Qing so that Jiang disciples would know he wanted her protected, so that Jiang Cheng would know that he wanted her protected. He knows what he's asking, for them to protect a Wen. It's a risk. It could damage their reputation and their standing. But Wei Wuxian is asking anyway. That's why he'd said he understood if Jiang Cheng didn't give it back, if he decided that risking their clan like this made him unsuitable as an heir. He wouldn't hold it against him. He still expects him to do it, though. Wei Wuxian knows that his actions might have terrible consequences, but he sent Wen Qing here anyway. He's trusting Jiang Cheng will honor his promise to her, even if he's angry about it. Jiang Cheng takes a moment to consider the spine of steel Wen Qing must have to walk into the Jin household, to walk in on the middle of a banquet, on nothing more than Wei Wuxian's word. He sees movement out of the corner of his eye and takes a step forward, yanking Wen Qing into his chest and lifting Sandu in front of them. The Jing disciple swings down, but her sword doesn't make a scratch. Enough spiritual energy flowing through Sandu that she actually stumbles back from the force of it. What the hell do you think you're doing? He barks, his arm across Wen Qing's back to keep her tucked against him, her face pressed into his chest. He tries not to focus on how he can feel the sharpness of her shoulder blades against his forearm, even through all their layers of cloth. However little they'd had to eat at the burial mounds, it was clearly more than she'd been eating now. What are you doing? The Wen disciple snaps. She's a Wen! She deserves... Her mouth seals itself shut. Jiang Cheng glances at Lan Wangji, and considers, for the first time, that maybe Lan Wangji talked too much as a child. He can't think of any other reason for him to be so good at this, except from repeated exposure. And he can't exactly see him using it all that often on his own clansmen.
Sect leader Jiang, Han Guangjun, this is hardly appropriate behavior,
Jing Guangshan says. Lan Wangji doesn't spell his mouth shut, but it's clear he's thinking about it. Wen Qing is stiff against him, but doesn't protest their position. They're surrounded by Jin, after all, so currently there's nowhere safer for her to be. If he puts her at his back, then he's just exposing her to the Jin at his back. She's trusting him. Or maybe she's trusting Wei Wuxian, who's trusting him. It doesn't matter. He's going to be worthy of that trust, whoever it's from. He doesn't know what he would have done if he'd been there when she was killed the first time around. But he can choose what he does now. Wen Qing is under the protection of the Jiang clan and my personal guest, he announces. To raise a hand against her is to raise a hand against me. Zijian flashes up his arm, and Wen Qing doesn't even flinch at the sparks against her skin. Do any of you dare raise a hand against me? She's a war criminal! Jin Xishin snaps. Have you lost your mind? She's one woman. Do you really think she's a threat to you right now? Sharp fingers poke his ribs, and it's an effort not to react, not to smile or recoil from the touch. We will wait for my brother's return, and then he can explain himself. We can discuss what's appropriate once we understand what's going on.
Jiang Cheng,
Jing Guangshan starts, cajoling and disapproving, and for the moment sounding so much like his father that he has to resist the urge to flinch.
Sect leader Jin, Ajia says, stepping forward.
She must have heard it too, if the stiffness of her shoulders is anything to go by.
What does it hurt to wait? The war is over. Surely the Jin can bear to spare some time for us all to figure this out. Wen Qing is no threat to you.
There Ajia goes again, being much better at this than he is. It's going to suck when he has to start speaking for himself, because he's just not that good at it. Jing Guangshan can either give in or be forced to imply the might of the Jin clan can be threatened by one starving Wen. He presses his lips together, then says,
Of course, Jiang Yanli. Wei Wuxian may have until the end of the banquet to explain himself.
Ridiculous, because of course they have no way to inform Wei Wuxian of this. But Jiang Cheng only says,
Most generous of you, clan leader Jin.
Wen Qing is here. Wei Wuxian will come back for her, if nothing else. That settles him somewhat, and Jing Guangshan almost manages to sound amused when he asks,
Lan Wangji, if you wouldn't mind.
Jiang Cheng still can't read Lan Wangji's expressions without Wei Wuxian here to play interpreter, but he's pretty sure that Lan Wangji does mind. But the second Jade of Lan just inclines his head, and then there's the sound of a couple dozen people taking in startled breaths. How did he manage to cast that many without even moving? The banquet slowly settles back into an uneasy rhythm. Ajia pointedly takes the seat that had been meant for Wei Wuxian between Lan Wangji and Nie Huaisang, and Jiang Cheng slowly lifts his arm from Wen Qing's back and takes a half step away from her. Her face is impassive. He gestures to the space between them. Not sure what he's apologizing for exactly, but unable to keep himself from doing it. I got dirt on your robes, she says. He looks down, and sure enough, there are smudges along his front. Dust and mud transferred from her onto him. It's fine. They've seen worse. Or, well, not these ones exactly. They're new, but, you know, other ones. It's fine. She raises an eyebrow. And he considers how important it'll be for him to stay sober, because he kind of wants to drink until he stops sounding like an idiot. What's wrong with him? This is unbearable!
Did you want to change? I'm sure Ajia would lend you something.
If I'm to die, then I might as well do it in rags, she says, no inflection in her voice. As if her possible very near death is nothing more than a curiosity to her.
If you're to die today, then you'll die as you lived, he says abruptly. He has no intention of letting her die at all, but it's not like he can say that in front of everyone when he's not even supposed to know what all this fuss is about. A senior disciple and the best medical cultivator of our generation. That's not the sort of person who walks around in rags. That gets something more than cold attachment from her. Although he's not sure what. He just knows that for the first time since she walked in, it feels like she's looking at him instead of through him. Jingguangshan's face briefly sours when Jiangcheng excuses himself with a promise to return quickly, but he says nothing about it. Probably only because he's hoping they'll do something he can turn on them for. But whatever. He briefly looks to Achia, but his sister is sitting between the leaders and heirs of both the Lan and Nie sect. She's safer than anyone else at this banquet, probably. Wen Qing follows him silently to the guest quarters. He doesn't go to the Jiang section, instead heading to the Nie. There's a Nie disciple standing outside of Nie Huaisang's door, which makes sense. But the Jiang cultivator he'd sent along is now in black and silver rather than purple. He raises an eyebrow and waits. Sect leader Jiang, his disciple says, bowing his head. Young Master Nie thought I would be too conspicuous otherwise.
You would have been, he agrees ruefully.
It would have been instantly suspicious to see a Jiang and Nie standing guard together.
I need to speak to our guest.
They open the door and Jiangcheng knocks on it before stepping inside to at least give her a couple of seconds warning. When they step inside to see Meng Yanmei on her knees in a deep bow, he regrets it.
Get up! Fuck! Stop that!
You didn't come to make use of me then?
She murmurs in a low, inviting way that he sure does it for a lot of people, but kind of makes him want to claw his face off.
Stop that, he repeats wearily.
Maybe he should have made Wei Wuxian go get her. They'd probably get along as well as she and Nie Huaisang seem to, and then they could have seen Lan Wangji have a massive internal meltdown. Maybe all three of them will be shameless together, and he'll get to see Lan Wangji have a meltdown anyway.
I came to ask you for a favor. You can say no.
He thinks it'd be audaciously rude of her to say no, but she could, considering she expected him to come and assault her even after he explicitly told her that's not what he was going to do.
He feels he needs to clarify.
She stands and drops the act, or at least this version of it. Maybe every face of hers is an act. She's Jingguang Yao's mother, after all.
What can I do for you, sect leader Jiang?
He gestures to Wen Qing, who's watching this exchange with a politely neutral face.
We're in the middle of a banquet, so we have to be quick. Can you clean her up, and do you have anything she can wear? I borrowed from my sister's trunk, but it has to be red.
If Wei Wuxian was still wearing his old clothes, he could have just found something suitable in there. But now his brother's trunk only contains black and purple. Meng Yanmei's eyebrows tick upwards, then down so quickly that he thinks the gesture must have been genuine. Of course, sect leader Jiang. He nods and steps back outside to give them privacy, managing to stay still for all of 30 seconds before he starts to pace in front of the door.
Sect leader Jiang, his disciple starts tentatively. Is everything okay?
He snorts, then feels bad because
when he's nervous, it trickles down to the rest of the sect, which certainly isn't going to help anything.
Everything's fine. The politely disbelieving expression reminds him of Achia, probably because that's where his disciples usually pick it up from.
Of course, sect leader Jiang.
The Nie disciple looks faintly scandalized, but the almost sarcastic words tug a smile from Jiangcheng's lips. His disciples know better than to pull that kind of shit around outsiders, which means that the Nie aren't considered outside enough for his people to pretend at being perfectly obedient around them. He thinks that's a good sign. The door opens and Wen Qing steps out. He runs a quick eye over her, trying to be impersonal about it. He lost the right to find her beautiful almost 20 years ago.
but it's hard not to think it anyway. She's clean, her hair pulled back into a bun and kept in place with an elaborate lacquered red hairstick. Meng Yunmei has a body that has allowed her to excel in her profession. And even if she weren't malnourished, Wen Qing would have the extra room in the robe around several places. As it is, the clothes have been wrapped closer and tighter, the extra material meaning that it's pulled modestly across her front and doesn't fall too close to her hips. The eye-catching silk robe is a few shades brighter than true Wen red, but it gets the point across just the same. "Better," he says shortly. "If you want the people up there to take you seriously, this is better." He wants to offer her his arm, but he doesn't want her to reject it. So instead, he just starts walking and trusts that she'll follow him. She does, moving easily in the borrowed clothing. "Nothing has changed for me since we last spoke." Her statement confuses him until he remembers that the last time she saw him, he'd offered her protection, but only for her, not for her clan. Fuck, he was such an arrogant brat. "Of course it hasn't," he says curtly. "You've been protecting your division of the Wen sect for years. You can no more abandon them now than I could abandon the Jiang." He almost leaves it at that. He would have normally because he's shit at this. But once she had burned, and he hadn't known about it until all that was left of her was ashes. "I should have understood that before, and I didn't. I do now." They're silent the rest of the way, and they're about to step back into the banquet hall when she touches his arm, and he freezes. "Why are you doing this?"
"My brother asked me to," he says.
"And that's all," she presses. He's not allowed to find her beautiful. It's probably really messed up that her sharp, distrustful eyes simultaneously remind him of his mother and cause a swell of fondness in his chest.
"I wasn't willing to stand against the rest of the cultivation world for you before. I'm not now, but I'll do it for my brother."
She'd chosen correctly last time. Wei Wuxian had turned his back on everything and everyone to protect her and her people. Even if Jiang Cheng had wanted to, he couldn't. It wasn't ever about the Wens being worth saving. It was about everything else being worth abandoning. Considering he just told her that he's willing to let her and her people rot, he's not expecting the quirk of her lips. That's almost a smile. And he's certainly not expecting her small hand on the crook of his elbow. "If Wei Wuxian can't find my people, I'm going to die with my hands around Jing Guangshan's throat." He's laughing when they step back into the banquet hall, attracting far too much attention, but he can't bring himself to mind. The banquet goes on, and Jiang Cheng tries not to worry as the hours pass, as Wen Qing steadily grows tenser at his side. She's not the only one. Lan Wangji could actually be carved from jade, and he doesn't think any of them would know the difference. He only moves to brush his fingers against the red lotus charm hanging from his sword. The rest of the Lan and Nie aren't much better. Nie Huaisang's fiddling with his fan becoming so obnoxious that his brother takes it out of his hands to whack him over the head with it. It pulls a smile out of everyone for a moment, but it doesn't last. The sky opens and he can hear rain pouring outside. It's late, not quite midnight, and the banquet is just starting to slow when the front doors bang open. The Jiang disciples step through first, and then there's Wei Wuxian. He's soaked, his hair's a mess, and the last time he'd seen his brother so coldly furious, both of Jiang Cheng's siblings had died. He has a toddler on his hip, the child's hands fisted in the front of his brother's robes, and his big dark eyes peeking out at all of them. It should temper the image of Wei Wuxian's fury, but instead it only enhances it. More Wen shuffle through, even more ragged and filthy than Wen Qing had been. Then there are more Jiang. They're standing around them, hands on their swords, and their faces almost as cold as his brother's. Mian Mian is the last to step through, her golden robes streaked with mud and dripping, but her shoulders are back and her eyes are clear,
even if they're angry. This is how she looked when she'd stormed out of the meeting and left her sect over Wei Wuxian. This is what Mian Mian looks like when she's decided to do the right thing and the consequences be damned. Anying! Wen Qing tears away from him, and sure enough, Wen Ying steps out from behind Wei Wuxian, his arms wide to catch his sister as she barrels into him. He's so used to Wen Ying seeming small, slouched, and timid, that it's actually a bit of a surprise to see how much bigger he is compared to his sister. Jing Guangshan scowls. Wei Wuxian, what's the meaning of this? Funny, he says coldly. That's what I was going to ask you. What do you have to say for yourself? Me? Jing Guangshan scoffs. Why have you dragged these worthless Wen dogs into my hall? Wei Wuxian says nothing, turning to look around the banquet hall. Do you condone this? Sect leader Jin told you that the remaining Wens would be confined to a valley to ensure they didn't cause an uprising. He lied to you. He gestures behind himself with the arm that isn't holding the child, who Jiang Cheng thinks might be Wen Yuan. The huddled people are old and frail, no threat at all, and it's clear they've been abused. Nie Mingtui half gets to his feet before being tugged down by Nie Huaisang. He hides the lower half of his face beneath his fan, likely to disguise what he's saying to his brother. Whatever it is seems to work, because his hands clench into fists on his thighs, but he doesn't move to stand up again. Lan Wangji has three fingers on his brother's wrist, which is apparently all Lan Xichen needs to keep from standing. Lan Wangji's eyes are intent on Wei Wuxian, probably waiting for some signal that he wants them to jump in. Jiang Cheng hopes it's sooner rather than later. He knows his brother is trying to make a point, but this won't work if they don't have the support of the Nie and the Lan, which means Wei Wuxian is going to have to actually let them support them. There's a heavy moment of silence. Then Wei Wuxian turns back to Jing Guangshan. You swore in a meeting with the other clan leaders that the Wen gathered would be confined to a valley while things settled. Instead, you've been capturing them and forcing them into labor camps. These are but a handful of the Wen you've been mistreating. I've been told there are dozens more camps in existence. Nie Mingtui's cup shatters, and Lan Xishun's face is so perfectly blank that for once he and his brother are wearing matching expressions. Keeping a few Wen around to make an example of is bad enough, is something they hadn't felt comfortable ignoring in either timeline, even though last time they'd been backed into a corner. Finding out several dozen of them had been confined and beaten was worse. But this is different. This isn't something they can ignore, even if they'd wanted to. This is a sect leader lying and manipulating and abusing people right under their noses in violation of his promise to them. Did Jing Guangshan promise the same thing last time in that meeting? Jiang Cheng wasn't there for it last time, but he thinks he must have. That Lan Xichen would not have settled for anything less. It almost makes him wonder if this would have happened last time, Wei Wuxian boldly exposing Jing Guangshan's depravity, whether he had Jiang Cheng's support or not. Last time, Wei Wuxian hadn't known about Jing Guangshan's promise, because Jiang Cheng hadn't been at that meeting, and so wasn't able to tell him. Which means, when he'd heard about the camps, he'd had no reason to suspect that it was happening in secret, that it was something the others would disapprove of. Even when he'd confronted Jin Xishun and got the truth out of him last time, everything had been framed in such a way that it sounded like Jin Xishun's actions had been an isolated incident, rather than standard practice. So the rest of them hadn't suspected, and Wei Wuxian had thought they knew. Fuck! No wonder he'd ran away with them. He'd known that the Jiang were in a precarious position and thought that the Lan and Nie knew what was going on and didn't care. What else was he going to do? What else could he do? With their clan not in a strong enough position to stand up to the Jin on their own, and when he thought the other two were at best indifferent to the Wen's suffering, if not outright complicit in it. Not all of them could be confined together. That's asking for disaster, Jing Guangshan says carelessly. We've been keeping some of them close, as of course you were aware.
You saw a few of them at the archery competition.
As you said, what does it matter to you? They were our enemies in the war. Do you condone the actions of the Wen?
Not all of the same clan are of the same mind, Wei Wuxian says.
Mian Mian steps forward, coming to stand beside him, her dirty golden robes and defiant eyes silently proving this point. Jin Xixuan's face twists in a way that Jiang Cheng thinks might be pride, before it smooths out. Jing Guangyao is inching away from his half-brother's side, and he tries to keep half an eye on them while not looking like he's staring, since he doesn't want to draw anyone else's attention to Jing Guangyao. And Jiang Cheng tries to keep half an eye on them while not looking like he's staring, since he doesn't want to draw anyone else's attention to Jing Guangyao. He steps just behind Jin Xixuan and then starts speaking softly, his lips barely moving. Jiang Cheng wouldn't have noticed at all if he wasn't looking for it.
Forget the when, Niaming Tui snarls. This is about you, Jing Guangshan. What you promised us. You've broken your word as a sect leader. How can we trust you?
They never trusted him, really. But it's all about the scale of the betrayal. Or, well, the scale of it and the publicness of it. This is good, Jiang Cheng thinks. If it's about human decency and the value of human life, there's no chance that everyone will agree. If it's about the stabilization of sect politics, they just might.
Now, clan leader Nie, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Jing Guangshan says, but his jovial mask is starting to slip. You're being irrational.
No,
Nie Mingtui says. It's just the one word, but it lands like a blade on an execution block. He stands, and this time Nie Huaisang doesn't pull him back down.
This is the last straw, Jing Guangshan. I cannot abide evil. If I continue to turn my face away from your actions, that's what I'll become.
Lan Xichen is staring at Nie Mingtui, his face soft in surprise before he hides it behind a smile. Surprisingly, he looks to Jiang Cheng next. A question in the slope of his brow. Jiang Cheng scoffs, audible enough that several people turn to him, because really, as if it's not obvious. Atia starts to stand, and Nie Huaisang and Lan Wangji reach out at once to gently push her back down. He crosses the room to stand next to his brother, who's watching him warily. Jiang Cheng takes the gold lotus hairpiece out of his robes. If his brother's hair wasn't such a wild, sopping mess, he'd put it back in for him here, in front of everyone. As it is, he holds it out towards him and says, "Here, idiot." The smile Wei Wuxian gives him, warm and relieved, makes him want to chuck it at his brother's head, so he stops looking at him like that.
"You're sure?"
"Shut up," he orders, then bends down enough to look Wen Yuan in the eye, and holds the hairpiece out to him instead.
Can you hold on to this for Wei Wuxian? It seems he has his hands full.
Wen Yuan nods and takes it with clumsy fingers, tucking it against his chest so it's smushed between him and Wei Wuxian.
That's probably not very comfortable, but it's what his brother gets for not taking it when he should have.
Sect leader Jiang, Jing Guangshan says, not even bothering to hide the thread of unease in his voice. Surely you can't condone this.
He raises an eyebrow. My brother speaks with my mouth. His words are my words.
Lan Xichen almost turns his head toward Jing Guangyao before stopping himself, and Jiang Cheng can't help but think that this is one more thing that's different. If Lan Xichen is surprised now, there's no way he'd have thought that he could have depended on the Nie's support last time, when he and Nie Mingtui were at odds. And last time he and Lan Xichen hadn't been close. Hadn't been anything, really. So he couldn't depend on the Jiang. Jing Guangyao had wanted to do something about the Wen, and Lan Xichen had wanted to help him, but had known that the newly rebuilt Lan couldn't stand against the Jin alone. And so he'd done nothing. Like the Nie had done nothing. Like Jiang Cheng had done nothing. Like all of the minor clans had done nothing.
all of them knowing they couldn't stand against him alone, but not believing they could stand together. He hopes they believe that now. The minor sects, even sect leader Yao, are staying silent. They know better than to get into a dispute between the four major clans. Know better than to pick a side before the dust settles. Lan Wangji removes his fingers from his brother's wrist, and Lan Xichen rises, still smiling even as his eyes turn hard.
You've gone too far, Jing Guangshan.
What do you want? He demands, scowling like they're all unruly children, even though there's genuine fear in his eyes now. This is outrageous. Nie Mingtui doesn't so much as blink.
All of the Wen will be released into our custody. They are no longer your concern.
Fine, if you want the mess so badly, he says, his shoulders relaxing.
You misunderstand,
Nie Mingtui says.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You've proven yourself unworthy and have debased both yourself and your position. After we've gathered the people in these disgusting camps of yours, we'll decide what's to be done about you.
You have no authority over me, boy, Jing Guangshan says, still trying to sound like this is all some game, but not doing a very good job of it.
None of you have any say over what happens within the Jin sect. You forget your place.
Lan Xichen raises an eyebrow.
You forget yours. We do not control what happens in your sect, but we control what happens within our own. While you are clan leader, no trade will occur between the Jin and Lan sects. Your disciples are not welcome in our lands. Your requests from aid will return unanswered. No invitations for cultivation conferences or meetings will find their way to you from the Lan.
Nor from the Jiang, Jiang Cheng says. Nor from the Nie,
Nie Mingtui finishes.
Presumptuous brats,
Jing Guangshan snarls.
Seize them! They've just threatened your sect leader!
Most of the Jin in the hall move to obey, although he notices that Jin Xishuan doesn't, instead standing with his half-brother and watching. Jin Xishun goes red-faced and furious, but once he sees that Jin Xishuan isn't moving, he doesn't either. Lan Wangji has placed himself in front of both Ajia and Nie Huaisang, and Jiang Cheng thinks he might even end up liking Lan Wangji at the end of all of this. Jiang Cheng reaches for his sword and steps in front of Wen Qing and Wen Ying without really thinking about it. Out of the corner of his eye, sees Wei Wuxian raise his hand to grab Baxia, but Mian Mian's clear voice cuts between them. Did you think I was alone in my feelings? He doesn't know what she's talking about until the Wen shuffle forward, and she sees a stream of golden-clad young women rush into the hall, swords drawn. One of the golden-clad women doesn't have a sword. One of them isn't a Jin at all. He supposes it really was asking too much to expect the woman who bore and raised Jing Guangyao to quietly sit in her room and not cause trouble. Had Mian Mian found out about her somehow and invited her along? Or had Meng Yunmei gone exploring, found something that looked like trouble, and decided to get involved? Knowing what he does about Jing Guangyao, it was probably the latter. The women make such quick work of the other Jin, it's a little embarrassing, kicking their swords away and forcing them to their knees. Jing Guangshan is such a sexist bastard that for a woman to be admitted to his clan as a cultivator, they need to be at least twice as good as he'd require a man to be. And it looks like that's coming back to bite him.
You've just attacked three clan leaders, Jiang Cheng says. Are you looking to start a war, Jing Guangshan?
Jing Guangyao's eyes go wide and he pales to an unsettling shade. For a moment, Jiang Cheng thinks he's reacting to the prospect of another war, but then he notices that his gaze isn't on them. Jiang Cheng follows it and finds himself looking at Meng Yunmei.
I...
Jing Guangshan starts, then pauses, a strange look crossing his face.
What's she doing here?
Meng Yunmei crosses the room, and none of them stop her. She pauses in front of Jing Guangshan and goes into a deep bow, standing close to him in a way only a prostitute would dare.
Ah, Shan.
He just looks bewildered.
Why are you here? How are you here? I'm a little busy, Yanmei. I don't have time for you right now.
Zheng Cheng sees a flash of a blade, then hears a sharp, shocked gasp.
Meng Yanmei takes two steps away and reveals Jing Guangshan looking down in disbelief at the blood pouring from his chest.
Perhaps not all of Jing Guangyao's murderous tendencies could be blamed on the Yin Iron.
She wipes her dagger off on the front of her borrowed robes.
You should have been nicer to our son, Ashan.
There's a rush of noise as the Jin disciples surge forward as one. Two of the female cultivators grabbing Meng Yanmei and the others running for Jing Guangshan, trying to staunch the bleeding as they pour spiritual energy into him. Wei Wuxian has tucked Wen Yuan's face into his neck. Niaming Tui and Lan Xichun share a quick, panicked glance, because of course this has all gone to shit. Jin Xixuan and Jing Guangyao are standing together in the same spot, watching their father die with identical expressions on their faces. Jiang Cheng doesn't know what to make of that.
Wen Qing rushes forward and Jiang Cheng holds out an arm to stop her, catching her around the waist.
What are you doing?
She slaps at his arm, but he doesn't let her go. Not yet.
I can help him. Release me.
He can only stare.
Why would you want to?
I don't, she snaps. But she's still struggling to get away from him, still struggling to get to Jing Guangshan. Wen Ying steps forward and Jiang Cheng lets go of her so her little brother can grasp her shoulders and push her back.
Jia Jia, stop. It's okay,
Jin Xixuan says. Everyone falls silent until the only sound is Jing Guangshan's dying breaths.
After what he did to you, he doesn't deserve your help.
Wen Qing slumps into Wen Ning's hands, but her eyes stay locked with Jin Xixuan's for the long moments it takes for Jing Guangshan's breaths to stutter, quicken, then stop. Jing Guangshan is dead. It's so late that it's early, and Jiang Cheng is exhausted. Things have happened quickly, and there's so much left to be done. Madame Jin is currently in her room sobbing over her husband's corpse. Jiang Cheng has no idea how much of it is genuine, and he sort of suspects that she's doing it more because it's what's expected of her than anything else. Meng Yanmei is being confined to a cell with a guard from each sect to keep anyone from trying anything, including Meng Yanmei. Jing Guangyao had eagerly disclosed the locations of the rest of the camps, and teams made up of cultivators from every clan had been sent to dismantle them, bringing the occupants back to Jin Tower. It's the middle of the night, and it's still raining, but no one has dared suggest they wait until morning. Wei Wuxian has settled the Wen in the Jiang guest quarters, where Li Jun has been put in charge of their care. All of that, and still nothing is handled, really. With all the immediate crises taken care of, there's the matter of how they're supposed to go forward from this. They're currently all in one of the private rooms, looking at each other in silence. It's a hastily constructed council of the major clans, and it says something that none of the minor clans had protested their exclusion. Jiang Cheng has Wei Wuxian and Achia with him, now that his brother is finally free of his child attachment. Wen Yuan had screamed something terrible every time Wei Wuxian tried to put him down, so he decided it would be easier to keep carrying him. Except it'd been hours of his brother helping him organize their people and sending out groups and making decisions, and he'd done the whole thing with a child on his hip, until Wen Yuan had finally fallen asleep and could be given back to his grandmother. Nie Ming Tui has Nie Huaisang and Nie Zongtui. And Lan Xichun has Lan Wangji and Lan Biyu. Jin Xixuan has brought Jing Guangyao and Jin Xixun. He'd asked Mian Mian, but she gently pointed out that considering she'd been front and center in all this, that probably wouldn't look very good right now. He's pretty sure Jin Xixuan had only agreed because he needed someone out there handling everyone that he trusted. Jiang Cheng hates how that makes him like Jin Xixuan a little bit. That, after everything, Mian Mian is still one of the few people he trusts.
I hate this, he says, finally breaking the silence.
He doesn't say
anything about how they all flinch at the sound. But I feel as if it might be best to get everything all in the open right at the beginning, regardless of the consequences. This can probably wait, but he doesn't want to have another one of these meetings if it all goes to shit. So they're just going to have to deal with all the bullshit now, so that Jiang Cheng doesn't have to worry about it later. It's not as if things could get any worse, after all. Well, they could, obviously, but he's just hoping that they won't. Lan Xichun looks like he regrets not having that drink earlier.
Sect Leader Jiang?
Sorry, he says to all of them, then turns to his brother. Would you be able to tell if someone was being influenced by Yin Iron? He blinks.
Yeah, but I'm the...
He cuts himself off, then looks at everyone, and sighs. He glances at Jiang Cheng, who nods. It's not like everyone doesn't already know anyway. As if this Stygian Tiger amulet could have been made from anything else. I'm the only one with a piece left, and I'm not corrupting anybody with it. No one even pretends to be surprised.
Unless you're not, he says. Jing Guangyao isn't reacting at all, and Jiang Cheng can't tell if it's a mask or if he genuinely doesn't know. He's leaning towards the latter. He probably doesn't think he's being influenced by it at all. If he did, he'd probably have gotten rid of it on his own. He thought Jing Guangyao had been a bit of a control freak before everything had come to light. Something about the timeline of things with Sui Yang seems off. Wei Wuxian, please.
His brother looks bewildered, but obediently lifts Chen Qing to his lips. Everyone seems as if they're too tired to protest. The Stygian Tiger amulet slides out of the sleeve of his robe, thin tendrils of black smoke trailing out of it as it makes a lazy circle around the room, gently bopping around as if it's not the most powerful and deadly spiritual artifact in written record. It passes by everyone easily, until it gets close to Jing Guangyao. He gasps and topples forward, clutching at his chest. It's so reminiscent of how they'd seen Jing Guangshan die that even Jiang Cheng can't help recoiling. All three of the Nie reach for him at once, as does Lan Xichun. Jin Xichuan is there first, of course, since he's sitting right next to him. But as soon as his hands touch his brother's shoulders, he yelps and pulls them back as if he's been shocked. Jing Guangyao convulses in time with the sharp notes of Wei Wuxian's flute, and his mouth drops open. Out leaks resentful energy as thick black smoke that twirls itself around this Stygian Tiger amulet. Jiang Cheng is prepared for someone to start yelling at Wei Wuxian, prepared for them to assume the worst of Wei Wuxian and blame him for this somehow. But no one does. Even Jin Xixun keeps his peace. Although, Jiang Cheng suspects that's because he's hoping Wei Wuxian does kill Jing Guangyao. Eventually, the smoke tapers off, and Jing Guangyao stops seizing. The Stygian Tiger amulet disappears back into Wei Wuxian's robes as the last notes fade. And if he looks a little worse for wear after such a small use of demonic cultivation, well, it's been a long night for everyone.
Ah, Yao?
Lan Xichun only hesitates a moment before placing a hand on his back. He doesn't get shocked, and Jing Guangyao shudders and then opens his eyes, clumsily pushing himself upright.
Ah, Yao, are you all right?
I'm fine, he says, but it seems more reflexive than genuine. His face is creased in confusion, and then he turns and looks straight at Nie Mingjue, who's not exactly hovering over him, but is pretty close. His face pales, and then he's pushing himself upright, only to fall to his knees. For a moment, Jiang Cheng thinks he's collapsed, but then he sees he's bowing, prostrating himself in front of Nie Mingjue.
Ah, Ming, brother, I meant to give it to you, he says desperately.
And Jiang Cheng has only heard Jing Guangyao sound like this once before, when he was talking to Lan Xichun at the end of everything. I was going to get it from Sui Yang and give it to you, but as soon as I touched it, I didn't want to kill him. He pauses, and his shoulders hunch a little higher around his ears.
Well, I wanted to, but I wouldn't have.
Lan Xichun moves as if to comfort him, but Jin Xichuan holds him back with a touch to his arm.
Niamingtui swallows.
Why didn't you come to me and tell me first? I would have sent someone with you.
By the way he says that, Jiang Cheng gets the impression that by someone, he means himself.
I wanted to impress you,
he says, sounding so ashamed that Jiang Cheng can't imagine for a moment that this is fake. He's known this whole time that Jing Guangyao is still only a teenager, if only barely. But looking at him now, he believes it.
I thought if I did, maybe you'd... I would have made a good Nie.
Now it's Nie Mingtui's turn to look confused.
You were one.
Jing Guangyao is quiet for a moment and then says,
you didn't have me change my name.
Jiang Cheng had never thought about it before. It had hardly seemed strange to him, after all, since no one in his sect changes their names. But Meng Yao had been the only Nie without the clan name.
I didn't want you to be ashamed,
Nie Mingtui settles on finally.
I didn't want you or anyone else to think there was anything wrong with the name Meng or how you got it. I wanted you to be proud of it, for it to be a name people respected. You were my general and you were Meng Yao, but you were still Nie. Of course you were.
Jing Guangyao finally lifts his head, looking like he's about to cry. And Nie Mingtui isn't doing much better. He leans over, cupping Jing Guangyao's face in one large hand so he can turn his face first one way, then the other.
Ah, he says. There you are. I've missed you.
Jiang Cheng isn't sure which one of them moves first, but then they're clutching each other. Jing Guangyao pressing his face into Nie Mingtui's chest. Jin Xishun rolls his eyes so hard, Jiang Cheng's surprised they don't come out of his head. While Achia and Wei Wuxian are clutching each other's hands and crying.
Really?
He hisses.
It's just so sweet,
Achia whispers back, sniffling. The way her and his brother's lips twitch mean they're definitely doing this to mess with him, at least a little bit. And suddenly, it's much harder to keep his glare in place. Lan Xicheng clears his throat, gripping his hands too tightly behind his back.
Does this mean the person you were ever since leaving the Nie is not truly you?
No, Lan Xicheng, of course not. Jing Guangyao denies, pulling away to look at him earnestly. But then he frowns and turns to Wei Wuxian, head tilted to the side. Wei Wuxian waves a dismissive hand. Now, yeah, of course. Mostly, it doesn't change who you are, exactly. Especially after such a short exposure. Eventually, maybe you'd end up a different person. But this just made you, well, extra violent and short-sighted at times. And it clouded your own perception of those actions. I'm actually pretty impressed you just didn't go on a murder rampage after touching it. The yin iron I used had already been forged once, so it was a lot easier to handle. He rubs his nose. You should probably let me handle the yin iron, though. You shouldn't touch it again. Jing Guangyao shudders, then nods.
Yes.
Not that this hasn't all been riveting, Jin Xishun says crossly. But can we get on with what we actually came to discuss?
Nie Huaisong snorts, but only squeezes Jing Guangyao's arms before dragging Nie Songtui and his brother back to their seats. Lan Xicheng gently touches the corner of Jing Guangyao's mouth in a way that makes Jiang Cheng want to throw himself out of the window before taking his own seat once more.
Wait, Wei Wuxian says, and they're all tense. We're all friends here or whatever, right? We don't need to stand on ceremony or propriety or anything.
Seems a bit pointless now,
Lan Biyu grumbles. The least Lan-like display Jiang Cheng has ever seen from her. But he supposes she just had to watch her clan leader act scandalously right in front of her. Surely there's a sect rule against being disgusted in public.
Okay, because I've had a day, and I think I deserve this.
Wei Wuxian pushes himself out of his seat and then drops himself down onto Lan Wangji's lap. Lan Wangji turns bright red and mutters a faintly distressed,
Wei Ying.
That doesn't seem like much of a protest with the way his arms settle around Wei Wuxian's waist. Achia bites her bottom lip to keep from laughing, and Lan Xicheng's smile is indulgent.
Lan Biyu just sighs.
Jiang Cheng meets Nie Huaisang's eyes over his fan, because he's the only one there he can trust not to be gross right now.
Right, he says loudly. So we're all agreed that Jin Xishuan will be the next Jin clan leader, and none of us are going to be assholes about it. Great. Next, what are we going to do with all the Wens?
The look Jin Xishuan shoots him is grateful rather than irritated.
It just makes Jiang Cheng want to punch him in the face on principle.